Our Heavenly Father, we come before you as your beloved children, and we praise you for your loving kindness towards us, your mercies that never end. You loved us so much that you'd rather die than live without us, and Jesus, you did die, and you rose again, and we celebrate your sacrifice. Greetings, saints. Our reading this morning is Matthew 27, verse 32 to 43, TPT. And as they came out of the city, they stopped an African man named Simon from Libya, and compelled him to carry the cross for Jesus. They brought Jesus to Golgotha, which means Skull Hill, and there the soldiers offered him a mild painkiller, a drink of wine mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. Then they crucified Jesus, nailing his hands and feet to the cross. The soldiers divided his clothing among themselves, by rolling dice to see who would win them. And the soldiers stood there to watch what would happen and to keep guard over him. Above his head they placed a sign that read, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of Israel." Two criminals were also crucified with Jesus, one on each side of him, and those who passed by shook their heads and ridiculed him, saying, "We heard you boast that you could destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Why don't you save yourself now? If you really are God's son, come down from the cross." Even the ruling priests, with the Jewish scholars and religious leaders, joined in the mockery and kept on saying, "He saved others, but he can't even save himself. Israel's king, is he? He should pull out the nails and come down from the cross right now. Then we'll believe in him. He puts his trust in God, so let's see if it's true, and see if God really wants to rescue him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Well, I'm outside on the veranda. It's a beautiful day, and this passage of scripture shows a man minding his own business. He's not a Jerusalem resident, he's from out of town, and the soldiers grabbed him and said, "Hey, you, help that man carry his cross," because remember in other accounts on the gospel, it highlights the fact that Jesus fell down a couple of times while he was carrying the cross. So the soldiers just wanted to get to the hill and get the job done and go home at the end of the day's work. And so they got this other guy to help Jesus carry the cross. This guy didn't volunteer. He might not have wanted to, but he landed up helping Jesus in this journey to the cross. And his name is recorded for all time, just like the lady who poured ointment on Jesus when they were around the table. Her actions were recorded for all time. And so this man, this unwilling participant in the crucifixion, became a part of the gospel story. So if God does things in your life that you don't understand, it could be that he's using you to work in somebody else's life. The crucifixion, the death of Jesus, the resurrection, and the ascension back into heaven were all necessary for God's salvation plan. And so this man had a role to play in the carrying out of that plan. Another thing we notice is that Jesus' crime was nailed to the cross above his head. And that crime was being the king of the Jews. That's the only thing that Pilate could find out about him. And so that's what they put there. And the religious leaders did complain about it. He said, "What is written is written." And that's why they left it there. A lot of people say that the cross is not the shape that we know. It's just more like a T-piece. And it's quite possible that most of the crosses would have looked like that. But the one that Jesus died on did have the notice above his head. So there was a section of the cross sticking up above his head to take the sign. These are very minor issues that some people like to argue about. Don't get into arguments with them. It's not worth it. Arguments don't save people. The love of Jesus and the goodness of God, that's what saves people. The people who were mocking Jesus about rebuilding the temple in 3 days, well, the scriptures do say that he was speaking of his own body, that he would rise again in 3 days. But, you know, since God created the universe in 6 days, I'm sure rebuilding a temple, one building in 3 days would have been no threat if Jesus had chosen to do the physical temple building. So that's just another thought where Jesus said, I will rebuild the temple in 3 days, meaning his body, but they misunderstood it, meaning the building. He could have done that quite easily as well. And then the last thought, when Jesus was initially tempted, when he went out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, the favorite thought from Satan was, if you are really God's son. Here again, the people were speaking Satan's words, if you are really God's son, come down from the cross. From a human point of view, a powerful person would have used that power to get himself out of a very painful and unpleasant situation that he was in. The pain from the nails and the lashing on his back would have been immense, and he was suffering. So, from a human point of view, it would have made sense to stop the suffering, and I'm quite sure the angels, I'm not quite sure, I can only imagine how the angels would have been ready to flatten those soldiers if Jesus had said, help, or get me out of here, because those soldiers were so big and strong and with their weapons, and everybody was intimidated by them, and well, maybe not everybody, but people in general were intimidated by them, and they did what they say because they were strong and armed. And those angels would have wiped those soldiers out like ants if Jesus had chosen not to go through with the cross, and if he had asked his Father for those legions of angels. So, another thought, when people around you are opposing the kingdom, take heart. God's kingdom is bigger and stronger, and it's just that we as humans don't see it too readily. We can see them sometimes, like Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, who saw the horses and chariots of the armies of God on the hills when the enemy's army had camped nearby. That's when he realized that God's armies were way bigger and stronger than the enemy's armies. The story of the chariots of fire is in 2 Kings 6. I'm not going to read the whole story. Basically, in verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the enemy seems bigger than you can handle, don't worry. God is bigger than they can handle. And so I encourage you, when circumstances look bleak or when things look like they're not going right, and in this world, in this current day and age, things are crazy. So yeah, if you are surrounded by belligerent people, which could happen in this day and age, remember, Jesus has already won the victory. Well, no matter what we face in the physical realm, the spiritual realm is the one that matters. The spiritual realm is where the angels are ready to help us at the slightest indication that help is required. In this instance, Jesus chose not to ask for help. Jesus chose to go through the suffering and stay on the cross and pay for the sins of mankind so that you and I could love him back, could respond to that love and accept his free gift of salvation, and so enjoy his eternal life that's already started. In Jesus' name. Amen.